You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Welcome to Deep Dive Broadway. It's really extraordinary to think how quickly the radio play adaptation of Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors, came together. But saying, yes, let's do this, was the easiest thing in the world. Writer-director Gordon Greenberg and writer Steve Rosen pitched the idea to adapt their wonderful stage play into a star-studded event to benefit the Actors Fund and the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS COVID-19 Emergency Fund. And here we are, less than a month later, able to share this hysterically reimagined, virtually recorded play with you. Go to bpn.fm/Dracula to enjoy. But before that, to kick off the launch of this special four-part radio play, we pulled together writers Gordon and Steve and cast members Christopher Sieber, Alex Brightman, James Monroe Iglehart, Ashley Park, Rob McClure, Richard Kind, Jeff Crady, Orville Mendoza, Kathy Fitzgerald, and Alan Tudyk to share their crazy stories behind the mic and so much more. Thank you for joining us in supporting the Actors Fund and Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS by going to broadwaycares.org/help2020. Let's dive in. And the perfect place to start begins with the creators of Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors, co-writer Steve Rosen and co-writer and director Gordon Greenberg. Welcome.
Steve, I thought you did the slide in camera.
So day one, where did this idea come from? Why did you guys decide to dive in and do this?
Oh my goodness. We had been talking for years really about writing Secret of My Success, which just opened right before everything got shut down. But it took about 7 years to go from initial spark and deal with Universal, et cetera, et cetera. In the interim, we kept saying, we want other things to write. So we started by writing a 5-character send-up of Scrooge for the Bucks County Playhouse, because they said, we need an easy, fast show that is funny and topical and can evolve with the times. So we wrote that. It then ended up at the Old Globe, and it's just been a wonderful experience. Andrew Cato, who runs the Maltz Jupiter Theater in Florida, and is an old friend of mine and of yours and now of Steve's, said, I've always wanted to do a show about Dracula in a similar vein. And I said, I would love to be the guy that does it. Let me call Steve. and that was the beginning of this adventure. Andrew was kind enough to have faith in us, and he commissioned the first draft. He read the first draft and said, I'm producing this next season and we'll work on it in between, but it's already close enough, which, you know, that never happens. And then in the interim, we did a workshop in New York with a fabulous group of actors. And then we did a workshop in Florida with a fabulous group of actors. And then we did a workshop in Chicago at Chicago Shakes with
a fabulous group of actors.
Yes, this is true. They were all wonderful. Rick Boynton, who is the executive producer there and head of development and a brilliant dramaturg, gave us this amazing sort of set of notes after that and during that experience that then sort of catapulted us towards what became the production in Florida, which was just a few months ago. It seems like years. It's so weird that it was just November. And here we are. And once this pandemic happened, Steve knows I'm not good with any idle time. So within 48 hours, I said, we have to do things. And we started making public service announcements for the Old Globe and various theaters that we like working with. And I said, you know, we had both compared notes about our fathers who used to ride around in the 1990s listening to these cassettes of 1940s radio shows, like The Shadow and
Jack Benny, Burns and Allen.
Burns and Allen, exactly. And so that was resonating in our minds. And I said, couldn't we do something similar with Dracula? It's just such a period feeling piece that we have put our own contemporary humor on. And I did remember that when my parents came to see the reading that we did in Florida, because they're Floridians, they had never seen a reading. And my father said, oh, it's like a radio show from radio days. you should make it some kind of radio show. So that was also in my mind when I suggested it. And then cut to, we have this great chance meeting, really about another project. And I brought it to you. And then I've never had a project come together this quickly. You can speak to that, but it was miraculous.
Well, we've, you know, when you think about radio plays, we've come so far and yet we haven't advanced at all. We're back doing radio plays, but they're so effective. I've been blown away by the work that you two have done. Steve, I sometimes don't know who I'm talking to because you're also an actor in the show. And
it's not me. I'm the same person. I'm both. I just wanted to follow up on a little on what Gordon said too, is that when everything started happening, like within days, Gordon did feel like we both felt this need of like, we want to do something because all of our jobs are sort of stopped and everyone we know, their jobs are all sort of stopped. And, you know, like one of the ways I think most of the people in the arts stay sane is by creating things. Yep. It's by doing the things that they do, and that's performing and writing and producing and all the things that we love to do. And we were just trying to figure out how do we do it in a way where, how can we create something and make something where people can join in and for a great cause to sort of bring attention to the Actors Fund, to people in our industry who aren't really working right now, and really just get a chance to play with our friends, which is... sort of what's wound up happening is we have this phenomenal cast of the best actors in like the world who have all jumped in from the comfort of their own home with these amazing microphones that we all have. I have one too now. And literally we got to sit there in a room recording with, you know, these amazing people from their homes. And everyone, I feel like, felt a little bit better because felt a little normal to be performing again and creating together.
And for Broadway Cares and the Actors Fund, you know, it's just, we can't do enough right now with all the work they're doing for the entire community. But that's the perfect segue to bring in Lucy Westfeldt, Ashley Park.
Hey, guys.
Ashley Park.
Hi, Ashley.
Hello. I love your cape, Dory.
Oh, my, thank you. Just happened to have one. I don't know what that's about.
Since we've been working together, she's worn it every... I don't think it was just for this project.
It's her. I love it. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's brighter where you are than where we are.
So I know. I'm in...
Disclose your location. Are you allowed to say where you are?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm in the bedroom. I'm in my parents' place in San Antonio, Texas. So been hiding out here in the desert. Yeah. So it is still light out here.
Nice. It is. I have to say, when you agreed to do this, I was giddy because I'm a longtime fan. And as you know from Annette and all the people at Broadway Dreams, you are celebrated there.
I'm so excited to, guys. This group is so fun. Gordon, I don't know if I told you, I listened to the first episode when you sent it, and it's interesting hearing you talk about radio shows and stuff because I didn't like really, you know, listen to those growing up, but like I was like on a run and I forgot that I was in it. I was like, oh my gosh, and like the soundtracks and everything, you really are taken away, and I feel like something that like it really boosts like our use of imagination. Right. And so like, and so much today is so literal. And so like, I think it was really, really lovely how you put that together.
Well, I love that you're playing a British proper woman of the 19th century.
Emily Ashford's sister. This group, but like even recording it, you guys talking about us being in the same room together, you know, it was so lovely. And you guys had to like tolerate me and Annalee just catching up on our lives for 15 minutes.
Me and Annalee are, I mean, I want to see you do these parts live. Like, you're hilarious.
I love it. I know. We texted right after. We were both like, oh, that was so great. Also, I miss working with you.
Isn't it weird? Like, to work with someone, but you don't get, like, the coffee breaks, the rehearsal time, the tech.
I know. I did a reading the other week with three people I'd never met in person. And by the end of it, we were like, this is so crazy because I feel like I know you. And I don't know. It's very, yeah.
What was it like creating this part virtually, you know, recording without the rest of the cast right around you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was very nice because I did my first day of recording was with Jeff Creedy and Christopher Sievers. And like, I mean, and everybody in this is just so like the animation behind everyone's voice is so wonderful. But like Chris and Jeff, as soon as like you hear these voices and also like, I think both of you, Gordon, and Steve, you guys were doing all these other voices too. The characters become so clear. But I love British. Like I used to like, what was the movie? Like the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap. I taught myself a British accent from that when I was six. And I would make my sister do these like scenes with me. She was listening to me practice like the British, the RP. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm having like flashbacks from when I was like two and you were making me do these like Parent Trap scenes with me when we were kids.
It's good. You're a natural. It's amazing. Awesome. No dialect coaches.
No. Well, my friend Billy Akintyre, she's a playwright and an actor, and she's from, I think, Durham, northeast of England. And whenever I have to do RP, we had like a wine and dialect coaching night that just turned into us talking for 4 hours. That she kind of helped me a little bit there. But she loved it. She was like, this is funny, like British funny.
That's interesting. That's legit funny because Steve and I had talked about whether we could do this in England because I direct a fair bit there. And there's something that made me nervous. I was wondering, like, will they find it funny or are we making fun of them?
I think it's so funny. I mean, as I was reading it too, I was like, oh.
Could you give everyone a little sneak peek at the voice of Lucy?
What do you mean?
Just your accent.
What do you mean? I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know, guys. They'll have to listen.
Yes. Tune in.
Listen, I mean, that is, it's like the only way that actors now can act in the same room as each other is through with their voices.
I know. Right. I think other people are waiting to come on.
Oh yeah.
Dr. Westfeld is waiting. So James Monroe, Eichelhart, please join us.
Hello.
Hello, Father.
Hello, darling. It's wonderful to see you, my wonderful daughter. It's so good to be here. Nothing like a black Englishman.
Nothing like an Asian auntie. I'm just kidding.
Girl, hey. That's the great thing about radio plays. We can just break all the rules, brother.
I love it. With Laura Benanti being like the German.
Seriously. People go, oh my God, who was that? Some wonderful young white girl? No, that was Ashley Park. Yeah.
Now, James, it doesn't. If you have listened to the podcast, yeah, James doesn't appear in the first episode. He makes his first appearance in the second episode. Yes. Oh, but he plays the father of Lucy and Nina Westfeld, played by Ashley and Annalee Ashford.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
And he runs an asylum
for the criminally insane.
Criminally insane in his own home.
So yes, in my own house. Right.
And he's a bit of a misogynist, or a lot of a misogynist.
Just a little bit, yeah, just a little bit.
But James brought a great truth to that.
Thank you. But I was directed well. I swear, Gordon, I talk really fast, and Gordon was like, "Slow down, so people can understand you." I talk so fast, but it was, thank you.
Over your mic at all. I realized how much I like act with my body and my hands. And I kept on hitting stuff. And I was like,
oh. I really had to keep my hands down as well. Cause I know how much I flail, but I've also, you know, anytime I love you, Gordon, but anytime Steve calls me, I just say yes. I whatever. It's just, if Steve calls me, he's like, hey man, we're going to be doing improv at midnight at some bar. Sure. I'll be there. You got it. Whatever. If Steve calls, I'm there. Cause I know whatever it is, it's going to be so much fun. I just have this moment. If he's going to be like, okay, I got this body. It's a show. No. There's a body. We're going to bury it. Okay, I'm with you. I guess we're doing that.
Remember, I think you improvised with us at the Broadway con in like the airplane hangar.
Yes. Yes.
Did like, it was improv. Like, can we get a suggestion for a location? And they were like,
yes, we've done improv in really, really tiny places and then like an airplane hangar. So well, yeah,
I saw you was when you did Freestyle of Supreme.
That's yes,
awesome. I mean, that's I was like,
listen, I work much better. Don't get me wrong. The script they have is great. You guys are going to love it. It's amazing. It's funny. But without a script, I don't have to worry about messing up. I could just, you know, just go. And people, if you mess up, nobody knows because you're making all the crap up.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm like, tell me what to do, and I'm going to do the best.
But what's really funny about this is my wife and I watched Dracula. Like we bought a bunch of the Universal movies on like Hulu or something like that, and like Prime. And we loved Dracula, and it was so fun. So when you guys called and asked me to be a part of this, I was like, babe, we just watched this. So it was so clear in my mind, and it was so much fun. And this cast is fire, guys. This cast is you're gonna love every second of it.
I can't wait to hear everybody else too.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to, like, I've only heard a little bit. I'm waiting to hear everything else.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of questions from people who really want to know for the two of you, how was this experience different? You know, aside from the fact that you were not with everybody, but you know, just in terms of performing, how was it different than what you're used to?
Ladies first.
I just think it's, you know, you have to put all the all the qualities into your voice, right? And also, like, it really makes you be in tune with, like, the rhythm of scenes, right? Because a lot of times, especially, you know, physical comedy and physical stuff, we have each other. And for us, like, and I'm sure James is the same way, and everybody, you know, like, for me, looking into somebody's eyes is huge for acting and storytelling. And so we really had to trust the guidance of Gordon and Steve, you know, and everybody, and just know that, I mean, the sound effects alone, like, all of those being there, you know, and, like, really, like, put stuff in our voices in that way. Yeah.
We should definitely plug our amazing sound designers. There are two of them. One is Victoria Toy Diorio from Chicago, who's a genius and who worked really hard for many months at creating an entire soundscape and a score for the show originally. And then Bart Fassbender, who is our sound designer out at the Old Globe on our other project and loves podcasts and is a podcast genius. And both of them volunteered their time and talent to put this together so beautifully. And I know Bart would want me to say, if you listen to it like in headphones, like James is doing, you can hear like sense around, you can hear that with me, but you hear like voices moving around you and bats flying around you. And it's a cool experience that, like Ashley said, invites your imagination.
I know, it's scary. I went the opposite. I never watched Dracula. Like the scariest thing for me, I think I've seen is like Harry Potter, Phantom of the Opera, and probably Alex Brightman and Beetlejuice. Like after that, I feel like we got right into him on the stream. Was like, are you?
That was the only thing that I was a little sad about that I didn't get to read with Brightman or Sieber, just because I know them and they are fantastic and amazing, ridiculous brothers. For me, it was fun because I do cartoons. And so this was kind of like being in that world. Actually, this was that world. It was just fun. It literally was like, I'm at home with my mic. There's the writer, there's the director, producer. They're all talking to you. They say, yes, good. Do that three more times. Okay, one more time. Okay, do that. Great. Beautiful. Cut. And then they put it together. You go, wow, I sound amazing. It's like they didn't use that take where I coughed or sneezed or like, you know, said a word. There was a word that literally was so British. And Gordon had to tell me how to say it right before I said it. I can't remember what the word is, but I remember I kept saying it wrong. And so you just said, okay, here we go. You said it and I say it. You go, okay, now continue. Like, yes, great editing. Awesome. Beautiful.
In like sweatpants and like not care about it. That's huge for me. I didn't have to put on any lashes. I didn't have to put on any makeup, nothing.
The sad part is though, I'm so conceited. I did shave for the recording. I was like, hold up. I still want to look good though.
First of all, right now I'm wearing Spanx and cologne. Why am I wearing cologne? Why did I do that? This is the nicest I've been dressed.
Don't get me wrong. This shirt is very nice. This is a Mickey Mouse shirt. If I opened it up, you'd see Mickey Mouse with, he has a stormtrooper hat on the inside of the shirt, but hey, you know, still representing for everybody I work for.
One of the things that's different about recording this play virtually is that you have a narrator.
Yes.
And so Alan Tudyk, please join us, who is the narrator of Dracula.
Hello.
Hello,
everybody.
What's up, Alan? How you doing?
I am your narrator for the show.
Speaking of the man who does cartoon voices.
Listen, I'm kind of geeking out right now, so I'm going to just sit back silent and just look at Alan.
I was just talking Star Wars. Yeah, this was great. Steve and I know each other from doing Spamalot back in 2005.
Nope, that couldn't be. It couldn't be.
Only 15 years ago, man.
Couldn't be. I actually kind of...
Mr. Sieber.
The true story is, and this is very quick, is that I was Alan's audition reader for Spamalot, and I sort of threw the audition because I wanted him to get the job. I didn't throw the audition that I was reading with, but I like tried extra hard because when he came in, I was like, oh, I hope he gets the job. Because
didn't you drop my name also?
I did. Because they
were the reason they called me. You're the reason they called me.
Hank Azaria did 6 months, and then he was going to film a TV show, and they were looking to replace him. And I was still like the audition reader, and they were bringing in all of these really handsome, like leading man types. And I was like, I just remembered I had seen Alan. They called this funny. a little less handsome.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. No, but I'd seen this play called Bunny Bunny that you were in. That was the Gilda Radner play, the Alan Zweibelt Gilda Radner play. And Alan played everybody else in the play. And it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. And I was like, that guy should be in this because he's so good.
Well, thank you. He makes me thank him every time we see each other and talk. Thank you again, Steve. No, thank you. It was glorious.
Thank you. And you are amazing. In this podcast, creating the world by narrating the story. It's a character that is not actually in the stage play.
Literally came alive when I was like, when I was listening. When
oh,
you,
wow.
I was like, oh my yeah. God, here we are.
It was like straight magic when you started talking. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. This is, we got something now.
If you could just see how we recorded it. I'm here. It has a high ceiling where I am. And so we had to stop all of the reverberation. And so I had pillows on either side of my head and then a beach towel that we washed the dogs with on top of me. And so there was just one little tunnel of sound and the speaker at the end of it and the computer there so they could see me and I could see them. I actually couldn't see you guys because there was the script in front of it, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Alan, you were hilarious. Do you want to just tell us why you're in Vancouver?
Oh, I'm doing. I was doing a TV show here called Resident Alien, which is it's going to be on sometime.
Sorry, just don't
and it's really fun. It's a comic book they're making into a show for sci-fi, and. I'm an alien, and it's really, it's, you know.
As usual, you play a lot of aliens, dude.
I do like aliens and robots, man. I'm the go-to guy.
But you're the candy king.
One little
anecdote. And I'm also with the candy king.
I love it.
Yeah.
Alan, so, when you were recording, I just want you to maybe tell the audience the tale of your pillows and blankets and lighting fixtures.
Oh, right. The lighting fixture. Oh yeah. I destroyed, this is a rental house. So I'm still in a rental home, for the job that's not working anymore. And in creating the tunnel of sound, it's like a Phil Spector thing. The tunnel of sound, he originated.
We have a picture. I think I was just told, I think there is a picture that we can show of you
in the pillow tunnel. It was like Joseph and the
alien thing. Now.
Oh, that's so good.
Alien thing.
That is so good.
Okay,
so
well,
Ashley, because we can only have six, we're going to say goodbye. Thank you so much for doing it,
guys, and go to dinner. But
Ashley, thank you so much.
Ashley, great. Till next time, Ashley.
So nice to meet you, Alan. Okay, bye.
Bye.
And we of course, you know, I'm sure if we took a poll and we were like, who is going to play Renfield? I have a feeling.
Light, just real quick. That's a light. That's a light. That's where a light should be. Because my tunnel of sound broke it.
Desperate is called for desperate measures, Alan Tudyk.
Yes. Wonderful. So you were saying Renfield. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
Renfield, who will solve all of our problems. Alex Brightman, please join us.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Cheers from local beer for Oklahoma.
He's also in Texas. No, wait. Oklahoma.
I'm in Oklahoma City.
Close.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. Hey, everybody. Nice
Close.
To see you.
You too, man.
Thank you for being here, friend.
A pleasure. I just made curry. I'm glad you can't smell the screen. And it's been great. I got to walk my dog in a bit. It's been a good time here in Oklahoma City. I too had to record with pillows, you know, surrounding me, And it was quite fun being directed while also having to drop a pillow to scroll and then bring it back up and do the whole dance. I felt like I'd worked out for the first time in 2 months.
I'm sure we have a cool pillow up there.
Yes. There you go. Perfect. No lights were harmed in the making of mine, though.
Well, that's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, you know, I'm not as active.
We'll be raising money for the Actors Fund as well as the Pillow Fund for all you pillows out there who have gone through some problems and some lights.
A lighting fixture fund.
That's a good
lighting fixture fund.
Once again, that we are doing this in support of the Actors Fund and Broadway Cares.
Yes.
Emergency COVID-19 Relief Fund. The website it should be below right there. Oh, yeah, look right down there. Donate right down there. Every little bit helps. All of these fantastic people did this because we want to support other performers and people in our business right now. So please do that. Thank you. Sorry, continue.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Go right ahead, guys. You guys are awesome.
I miss you, James Iglehart.
Alex, man, I miss you too. I swear. I keep thinking that the reason why we haven't been on Broadway yet is because there's not enough wood because both of us chew the scenery. So, but someone will build a set big enough for the two of us to be on it, and I cannot wait.
We're also both black.
That's true. That's true. And it's really hard to be black in Broadway right now. You know, Alex Blackman was black?
Come on, man.
He changed his name for Broadway. It used to be Alex Blackman, but he knew that wouldn't work. So he became Brightman. And
Wow.
Yeah.
A little bit of Broadway history. No one
knows
that.
It's a sordid story, but I come out on top.
Always.
Yeah. A number of people are who have listened to the episode are really impressed that you actually ate a beetle while recording this.
Yeah,
could you talk about that and is an homage, perhaps?
Well, this is not New York where I'm at. So Oklahoma has no shortage of bugs. So I thought it would be kind of an interesting take to like actually eat a bug for a take. And so I found one and kind of have kept it under a glass. And then when the time came, I did one take regular, second take another way. And then the third take, ate the bug. That's the one that made it, I believe.
Because it's authentic.
I think because it's authentic. And I'm the Daniel Day-Lewis of Renfield.
Your dedication to truth and verisimilitude really make all the difference in this first episode.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Gord.
Thank you.
I'm believing you on this. That's a very it's very convincing.
Well, like John Lovitz once said, acting. Thank you.
Well done.
Yes.
It's also a pleasure to meet you, Alan.
It's a pleasure to meet you as well. I'm from Texas originally.
Oh, cool. I'm from California originally, but
he's in Oklahoma. So
with my in-laws in Oklahoma. So
it's a Bay Area boy right there.
That's right. That's
and you have your New York City dog is with you in Oklahoma City. How is that adaptation going?
My dog Kevin is here with me and he's loving life. He's That's loving cool. it. Lots of room, lots of bitches, and what?
You're right.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Awesome. Kevin, the dog.
Yeah, it's a good name for a dog. Beautiful dog. Beautiful animal you got there, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We've unfortunately had to eat him because of the virus.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. It's fine.
Yes. Yeah.
So this comes out because you can only get one episode now. Am I correct or am I doing it wrong?
Right now, you can get one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. One per Friday.
Every Friday morning, which on the East Coast is earlier on the West Coast than the West Coast, Alan.
Very true.
Next version will drop, and we've got 4 episodes total.
All right.
Cliffhanger. Major cliffhanger.
There's my COVID hair. Okay. So it'll be a month of shows.
And bpn.fm/Dracula to check out the first episode. It's up there now. Excited. James, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Totally understand. Thank you guys. It's a pleasure. Alan, you are a legend. Alex,
oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Love you, buddy boy.
You too.
Bye, James. Bye, James.
And Julie James is joining us. Welcome, Julie.
Hello. Cheers to your new episode.
Julie James is here.
Hello.
Hey, Julie James.
Howdy.
Howdy.
It's great to see other people than myself.
Julie's not wearing pants right now.
Yeah, pant. Ooh, it's going to be hard to put on a dress after this.
Tell me about it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Shaving the legs, the whole thing. It's going to be exciting when that comes back.
All right. Are you in New York? Hi, I'm Alan. Are you in New York? Hello.
Big
it's
fan.
A pleasure to meet you. Are you in New York right now?
I am. I'm in the heart of Broadway as it is now known, AKA and Ghost Town.
What's it like? Is it just empty there? I'm on the west side of the coast.
It's pretty empty. As the weather improves, it is definitely a little more populous out there than it was, you know, like a month ago. But, you know, I remember I remember really specifically the stages of, like, you would go out and, like, I didn't have a mask because, remember, in the beginning we were told, save the masks. You don't need the masks. So it went from, like, I wasn't in a mask and there were a few people with masks here and there, to then, like, that stage where it was a lot of masks, to I remember very specifically the day in Midtown Manhattan being like, oh, wait, I'm one of the only ones without a mask. Like, everybody else had them. And now everybody has them.
I've been wearing this mask.
Yeah.
Right?
And the fundamental problem with it is that it covers the wrong
literally everything but what you're supposed to cover.
Right. And I go outside and everyone's running away from me. I thought I was like, oh, luchador. But no, it's actually, this is the scariest part.
But congratulations, guys. And thank you for inviting me to stop in tonight. That was very generous of you. For folks that, you know, may not know, I voiced your very, very fun trailer. And
nobody knows Broadway names like Julie James.
You know?
Well, I have to say, I was really excited because we were thinking, like, who would be perfect to do the trailer, who would be, like, both the voice of Broadway and have that kind of juicy, emotional kind of mystery to them. We asked and you said yes. It was so kind.
I leapt at the chance. I was
and
thrilled.
The turnaround. And this is Alan Tudyk, who I think was Tudyk in your first take.
Well, you really outed me like that.
Well, because Alan sometimes calls himself Tudyk.
I referred to myself as Tudyk. Because Tudyk just seems too ridiculous. That's actually true.
So I'm validating you.
Wasn't that like a viral video from a few years? Oh, way to go. Wait, that's something else. Yeah.
One man, two dicks.
And in England, it's different. They use different words for governors.
On that note, we're gonna say goodbye, Alan.
I'm gonna leave on the two dicks. Thank you very much.
What a way to go out.
And we have,
and now that he's gone, let's talk about him.
He is too successful.
He's amazing, man. That voice. He's in everything. By the way, like, you do want to geek out when you're talking to Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Really, I'm not kidding. We just literally, like, 26 hours ago watched Dodgeball.
Oh, I forgot he was in Dodgeball.
It took me all I could to not be like, everyone, Steve the Pirate, how are you? He's the best. He's the goddamn best.
It's here, so funny.
And we have.
I just realized that Dory's dressed like Dracula. For one second, I wanted to be like, Dory, that's a cool app. I didn't want to embarrass. I'd be like, yeah, your collar's a bit.
I thought it was like an extra fabulous tracksuit for a minute, which makes sense.
I'm in the zone. You know?
Nuts.
It's authentic.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you didn't go out and get it, so you had to have had that in your home already.
It's true. I don't know what that's about, but, you know, it's like, oh, we're talking about Dracula tonight. Let me pull out my cape.
We're all going to have fabulous prop closets when COVID is done, you know, because that's how I've been entertaining myself on Zoom calls all along. It's like I show up with some, you know, I've got the fur stole on one. I've got the bunny ears during Easter. The bunny ears were really popular.
Did you miss Nacho Libre a second ago? He has a prop closet.
Hey, don't make me mad. You know what I'm saying?
No, man.
Junior. We call that Zoomer. It's Zoom humor.
Yeah, Zoomer.
Okay, Zoomer.
Whatever we're using.
Okay, Zoomer is very good, Julie James.
You know, that's why you keep me around. Every once in a while, bang!
I think we have to welcome in Lord Windsor and Lord Cavendish to join us. Rob McClure.
I didn't see you sneak up on me there.
All right, Rob. It's not a meet and greet.
Don't get me on beans.
Hi, don't get me started on beans.
I just missed the leaf on the wind. Alan Tudyk, Serenity. My wife is like obsessed with Serenity and Firefly. So
Firefly, yeah.
Well,
big fan.
What's up, Rob?
What's up, Brian? How are you?
Everything's fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm watching my 16-month-old daughter grow up. It's amazing.
How is she?
She's awesome. I have to do all of these crazy requests, which are so awesome to do and for so many good causes, in her 2-hour nap window midday. So like anyone who wants anything, I'm always like between 12 and 2. I can do anything between 12 and 2 except sing loud. If I do have to sing full out, I'll do that at like 1:57 and just bank on waking her up. That's fine.
Yes.
Strategizing around naps. That's my life.
I love it. Nice Coke cup.
Yeah, seriously. Good product placement there.
Thanks.
How was this whole experience for you, the recording of both parts?
I've always been obsessed with radio plays, actually. I've always said that if I ever did the that questionnaire and they said, you know, if you could do any other career other than your own, I've always wanted to be a Foley guy. I'm fascinated by Foley. So I've always been super into radio plays. Yes, exactly, Alex Brightman. Just sitting with two shoes and a slab of cement, like tracking somebody's paces on a movie. Like, I just think it's so cool, the idea that whenever you're watching, you know, anything, everything you're hearing is not actually there. So I've always been kind of into it. So when you guys asked, I jumped, and I love you guys. And so it was fun. And getting to play several parts with all ridiculous accents.
Yeah. Rob is also the gravedigger. He's three roles.
Wow.
right.
That's fun.
And three different British accents, I should say. Each, like, very specific.
Oh, God. Well,
I want to say one thing before you bring, I know who you're going to bring in. If I don't share the screen with Richard Kind for 5 seconds to say hello, I will throw a fit.
Julie, we have to say goodbye.
Absolutely. I'm happy to bow out.
Okay, here we come.
So nice to join us.
Okay. Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Happy sharing.
Oh my God. Okay.
Richard Kind, the captain.
I don't want to talk about that.
This is not friends.
Look, listen here, Richard.
Oh, kids are probably listening. This is Dracula.
Yeah, this is Dracula.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Richard.
How are you all? Oh, my God. Look at me. Yeah. I don't look into mirrors nowadays. This is obvious.
It's sort of like the conference call has become the mirror. Like, that's how we know.
I know. And I'm sitting here crunched over like this. I can smell how bad I am. I need a
shower. By the way, what's weird about this is that I can smell you too.
Minutes from your home. Good program.
Oh no, you're way out.
I'm gone. Yeah, I'm gone. Richard and I are essentially neighbors. When there's no pandemic.
And now you're in
Oklahoma City. So it's very far away from our Chinese restaurant that we go
to. When I think of Oklahoma City, what do I think of? I think of Alex.
Thank you.
Rob, how are you?
Good. Good to see you. I have to tell you.
Sit at home wearing a dress?
Most of the time. And a face. Prosthetic face as well.
Why can't I hear him? Can America hear him?
Yeah.
I can hear him.
Rich, you sound a little quiet.
You're a little quiet, Richard. Can you?
Is that true?
Now you're projecting.
That's the first time anybody has ever
said
I'm a little quiet. All right. Well, you won't have to be on with me long.
It's happened to me before. I can hear somebody.
Yes, it has been a very long time since anyone has ever said, Richard Kind, could you speak up?
I know. Isn't that hilarious? You really can't hear me?
Oh, now we can.
Now we can hear you.
Tilt your head the other way.
Thank you for putting me on the poster.
There's a poster when you want it.
Well, thank God I got paid a lot.
Well, a lot of the time Richard shows up later in things, so he's not credited.
Richard, yes,
I'm talk
towards your left.
And then the screen cuts off.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Richard. So talk to you.
How has this been going? Has it been going
your
well?
Left.
It's amazing.
I don't hear you people.
It's over.
Can you hear me?
Is it over?
Okay. You're still here. It's been going great. Richard plays the sea captain or the captain of the ship in the very first episode. He is hilarious.
Yes.
Richard, this is all in your head, by the way. This is not happening right now.
If you only knew the dreams. I'm filled with nightmares. And this is a dream.
Can you move the mic a little closer?
Yeah, but I can't believe it. Like this?
This is
me.
Huh? This is like when I call like one of my dad's friends. And Hello, Alex, how are you?
You keep talking. Hold on.
Wait, I have to tell you while he's gone. I quote him in my regular vocabulary now. He did a thing for Colbert where he was the youth correspondent at a YouTube like festival.
We did it at Beetlejuice. Yeah. All the time.
And he, a kid there was trying to get him to jump on a trampoline. And he's like, so what you're going to do is you're going to jump on the trampoline full of glitter. You're going to point to the camera and you're going to take a selfie. And Richard said, okay, no, I'm not. So now anytime anyone asks me to do anything I don't want to do, I say, no, I'm not.
Yeah, we can hear you, Richard.
Yes, we can hear you, Richie.
Yeah, but I plugged it into the wrong thing.
And you can imagine how the recording session went.
So one page, 2 hours.
Hear me?
Yeah, but it's worth every penny, man.
Exactly.
Is it worse?
2 days.
No, this is great. And unfortunately,
can you hear me?
Thank you.
But we're out of time. Okay, that's all right.
By the way, can you
hear me with this thing?
Yeah, that's good.
We're still facing the wrong way. Face your USB mic to your left.
Hear me okay? All right. How's this? Jesus, I'm so close to this.
That's
thing.
Good.
Is this all right?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my face in the thing. I'm fine.
That's what I think. I think that Greenberg and Dory have something going on with their
time. Yeah. Maybe you guys should move over.
That's right.
All right. What's everybody been doing?
I've been cooking a lot.
So have I.
But what are you cooking?
Really? What have you been cooking, Richard?
Vegetarian chili. I make a great lentil. Phenomenal. Oh, so good. What else? Did ribs in the steam cooker.
Oh yeah.
I screwed up fried rice the other night.
I did fried green tomatoes for the first time and they came out banging.
Nice. My wife just made the apparently
good recipes.
He can't hear me.
Really good recipe. Rob is not talking. Rob, are you talking? Because I can't hear him.
Yeah, don't worry.
Thank you for tuning in to Character Actors Show.
I've shifted windows. Can you hear me now?
I can.
I
can. I
just needed a Brady adjustment.
Listen, if I know this is nearing the end. So if you have to kick me off and get other people in, do so.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Richard. Not us.
That's kind of a relief.
Please, get me out of here.
Richard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming. Good luck with this thing, guys.
Love you, Richard.
Everybody watching, watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
Listen.
It's a podcast.
No, I mean, listen to the to Dracula. That's what I mean. Oh, shut up. Bye.
We're about to bring on Dracula, but just wanted to remind everybody to, this is a really great time to donate to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and their COVID Emergency Fund. Why don't you do that right now? We're about to introduce Dracula.
Okay, no, I'm not.
Chris Sieber, welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh my God.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Should I be over here? Should I be over here? You're good. Maybe over here. Wait a minute. Is this thing working? I can't. Okay. Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're giving What We Do in the Shadow vibes. It's really great.
Yeah. My God.
Okay,
look at you.
So I tried to do, you know, some sort of Dark Shadows thing. I'm literally lit by my iPad and candlelight.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
I know, right? We got a little fire going in the background, huh?
Ooh, it's very compelling.
I was in the waiting room now for what, about almost a half hour or so, and it was quite possible. No, this is the best thing that's ever happened. It's so much fun because, first of all, I know everyone and I love you all, and it's the greatest thing to see you all just being you and hilarious with each other. It's the best thing. And Stephen, you and I with Alan Two Dicks. I just wanted to tell a story. When Alan went in the show to replace Hank Azaria in Spamalot, there's a moment where he plays Tim the Enchanter, and he comes off, and there's a moment, and Hank said, "Below me lies the cave of blah blah blah," and when Alan came across in his put in, he said, "Below me," and Hank, you happened to be there. And you could hear in the back of the theater, Hank going, "Damn it!" Hank missed something, and he was like, "Ah!"
That's incredible.
I love this. Thank you guys for sending me to hear it, and it was the best. I mean, it's so great with the sound effects and everything. The greatest thing was like the whole Gonzo way we did the whole thing.
Oh, crazy!
I mean, I heard, who was it? Alex, you had pillows.
Yep.
Alan had blankets and broke a lamp. I had to yell in a beret because that's the only thing I had. I had a beret and I would.
Rob used his kid as a pillow.
Yeah.
Exactly. At one point, Christopher, I think you were wearing like a customer service headset.
That's what we recorded it on. And when I heard what Gordon sent me, I was like, "Holy crap, that sounds actually great."
That's how I felt.
Since then, I've now ordered an entire voiceover microphone kit that's coming Wednesday.
And you've also ordered the entire set from the movie Clue.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Seriously, if you look, the candlestick is right over here. Yes, yes. The wrench is over there. This was great, and I'm so happy. I'm so glad you like were bringing people on because it was so nice seeing everyone. And you know, it's so great.
It's nice to see you, Chris.
And it's so lovely to see everyone, Rob. And I'm sorry, we were in the middle of to you too, Alex. We're in the middle of this thing, and all of a sudden, whack.
Oh yeah!
It happens so fast.
The video is buffering now on Broadway. It feels like.
Yeah, yeah. But it all happened so fast, and it was so weird. We were 8 performances away from opening on Broadway.
Yeah.
Rob, you were just in previews, right?
We had done 3 previews, and we were rehearsing during the day. But it's you know, the only thing that gives me solace is knowing that A, we'll be back, and B, the energy when curtains rise again on Broadway is
I can't. That's like I keep saying that
it's going to power a city. I get emotional thinking about that.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean,
they will come. We have that
even
thing.
even when the lights go down on the for the first top of one, the audience is going to go absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
Ooh. Potty word. Sorry.
No.
Potty word. Because for as glorious as all of this is, and it is proving that screens don't cut it.
Right.
And it's, but you know, it's the best we can do in the meantime. But I, man, is it going to be wild when we come back? I cannot wait.
Yeah, my comedic timing is totally off now.
I know, right?
I understand completely. Yes,
I can't even deal with it.
I've been watching you now for about 20 minutes, and I can say,
Alex, this whole thing is just an intervention.
That's, yeah,
I'm just going to bring all these other people together to say,
I can stop whatever I want, man.
Alex, your comic timing has affected me negatively in the following way.
Who are you, Peter? I'm like Peter Marks. All right, well, that's my time to go because I'm very upset now.
I love
Alex. Thank you. And
thank you,
and
Rob.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
Bye, talk to you all soon.
Really appreciate it.
Bye, Saber. Bye, everybody.
You guys were brilliant. You know, what you said, Chris, you know, there's nothing like live. There's no question that live is the way to go. And when we're back up, everyone needs to rush out to see theater. It's so important. But I think that you all did such a magnificent job with the show. It's just transporting. And everyone should tune in and listen to all four episodes because you guys are magnificent. And you know, Gordon, I'm eager to, you know, for you to share what it was like directing online and to direct Chris and Rob and not be in the room with them. What was that like?
Well, luckily I know and love both of them and am, you know, enamored of their talent and have a sense of so much of their potential and their willingness to kind of go with it. So I knew they'd be perfect for this kind of a show. And I have to say, both of them dove in with crazy abandon. Chris and I had a long talk about the show and sort of what our goals were macro overall. And then I said, okay, can you play Dracula? How do you like this idea? And he was like, great, I'll do it. When do you want me to record? Tomorrow? It all happened very quickly. We talked a little bit about, you know, what kind of a Dracula this was, which is really, you know, across probably between like the Bela Lugosi and Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. But he's a narcissist and also has a sense of humor and maybe even a little bit of Gaston thrown in, a role that I think Chris has probably played somewhere, namely Broadway. Anyway, it was great. And I will say the joy of it was that thanks to this crazy technology, we were on calls like this. So we were looking at each other and actually exchanging ideas. And separately, there was a program that was recording everything without the glitches and the hiccups that happen with modern Wi-Fi or with different Wi-Fis. So they were both amazing. And Rob, I don't think like there's a role that you couldn't play. You just jumped into any of them. We didn't know which role you should play, so we gave you three.
It's a blast. I mean, it's a dream, you know. I love playing, and everything we've done together, Gordon, has been in a similar vein where it's been sort of like a little wild, and you're like you need a bold choice. So that's why we do what we do. And mentioning Chris as Gaston, can I just tell you, Chris, I use the example of your Beauty and the Beast audition whenever I teach.
Is it the I Feel Pretty?
Yes. Can you confirm that you sang that for your audition?
Was that you or Kudish?
It was me.
Yeah, see?
It was me.
Chris, wow, I used that too.
But I did it. I did it butch.
Yes, exactly. sure.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. And, you know.
But I always say, like, people always say, well, how do I prepare a comedic song? And I always say, if you're relying on the lyrics to the song to be comedic, you're dead in the water because they've heard them all before and comedy's about surprise. And I use the example of your Gaston audition constantly to teach people what funny, what bringing funny to a room is. You're so amazing.
Yeah, dude.
It's the opposite. Always do the opposite of what people expect.
There was a scene in Spamalot every single night that I would go and watch from the wings, which was Christopher and David Hyde Pierce and Christian Borle and Michael McGraw, this guard scene.
The guard scene.
The guard scene from Spamalot, which
It is
the hardest comedy in the world.
An insanely difficult scene to do correctly because it is just about patience and waiting. And they were masters. Every single time I laughed my ass off. I've never laughed so hard as I did on that job. And especially like watching that scene.
Oh, thank you. But I saw the funny thing is somebody had recorded that scene when we were in previews on Broadway, Steve. And obviously it was in previews because we were very restrained. As you know, as the show progressed, yeah, the scene was usually about 7-8 minutes and then it became 15, but because we discovered so much, and Mike Nichols was so great with us because he was like, yes, use your babies, you know, find your babies, have your babies, but every now and then kill your babies, which are like, you know, bits and stuff like that. Yeah. It was the best.
But I will say both of these guys, I mean, really everyone involved is not only hilarious and smart, but has a big, generous heart. And that's hopefully that spirit is infused in this show. So with all the kind of ridiculous humor, there's also a sense of some humanity and the generosity of spirit that these guys bring with them. I have a million stories about both of you of things that have blown my mind, like Rob, we were doing a workshop and you were in Pittsburgh. Do you remember this?
Yes.
You were doing a concert in Pittsburgh and there was a snowstorm and all the flights were canceled and you took an all night bus ride to be there in the morning.
Yes.
For rehearsals at New 42. And you earned my forever gratitude and admiration. It's just, you're amazing. Just great.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to play again. I look forward to the next.
We're going to say goodbye to you guys don't go anywhere, Steve. But Robin and Chris, thank you both so much. We have a few more
guys
to welcome.
I hope everyone enjoys it. You're going to love it.
You're an awesome Dracula. Killed it. Everyone should be donating to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and to the Actors Fund. But let's bring on Kathy Fitzgerald, Orville Mendoza, and Jeff Creedy all join us.
Good evening.
I need a cocktail. Oh my goodness.
I love this.
This is just a Friday night at home.
Should we start with
I'm fighting mine? I'm pretending this is coffee. It's not.
I have to say, Jeff has the longest association with this project of anyone because he was in the first ever reading of it in New York, which taught us a ton as readings do, but it was the first time we ever put it up. Jeff was so game, and I guess having done a similar role in Gentleman's Guide.
Yeah, not too dissimilar.
Because Michael Rose texted me, he was listening to it today, and he said, oh my God, I feel like I'm back in Gentleman's Guide.
It is fun to kind of get to revisit a similar character for sure. But I was really excited to get a chance to do this again, because when we did that reading, I just thought, my God, this piece should be produced. Number one, this should be done all over the country because it's so easy to produce and is so clever and so funny. And so I was thrilled to be a part of it from the beginning, honestly.
Easy to produce if you have an amazing cast like you guys.
Oh, well. But truly, it's
very fun. And Orville and Kathy are just in every show I have anything to do with.
I would have no career if it weren't for Gordon Greenberg here. I'm a terrible auditioner. You guys were talking about auditions. I have like Anthem in my book. What else? Heaven on Their Minds. That's it.
Could you guys talk about the parts you play in Dracula?
Yes, I'm the pivotal role of Kitty, who is and a kleptomaniac. And she's kind of a mix of Mrs. Lovett meets, who's the hunchback? What's his name?
Quasimodo.
I think if I was doing it not on radio, I think I kept thinking like her hump would move. She's a great little character. I love it so much. I mean, if it was a live show, I can just see her stealing everything on stage behind people's backs and not really saying anything. It's delicious part. I just did this thing with Sieber. I missed him. He was playing Batman and he had to make his own costume. It was so funny, you guys. He like made a giant sock thing and taped these ears. It was like, I'll tell him later. His prop work was amazing. And then tonight
he hears you.
Oh, he does. He was hilarious. I mean, just tape and duct tape and things. It was so funny about him. What a great group of people, Gordon. This is amazing. And so funny, the script, you guys. I just loved it. It's great. Oh, amazing. It's great.
Thank you. We all love you.
I play the pivotal role of the bosun. And it was basically two pages of yelling because we were in a storm. And my throat was like raw by the end. Yeah,
your Irish accent was right on point.
Oh, thank you. That's so worth it. I love it.
Do we all have pillows right here? Because I had pillows right here, too.
Oh, well, Kathy, the story of your recording is a long and winding one.
Oh, God. I had three lines, honey.
But luckily, you have a son and a husband and a house in California full of microphones and wires.
God, it was tragic. It was crazy. It was crazy. Because I can barely even log on to these things. My 22-year-old daughter has to come and do it because I'm just technically not okay.
Oh, sorry. I said a son. I meant a daughter.
It's okay.
She's still a daughter. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Cool. But you guys, I just have to say thank you so much for being a part of it. There's a picture here of Kathy recording with a webcam microphone.
Oh, that's a pretty chat. That a girl. That a girl.
No screenshots allowed.
I can barely text, let alone the Zoom stuff is like beyond me. It's crazy.
But you know what? Compared to Richard Kind, you're Elon Musk.
Richard, I wanted to see him. Oh my God, I wanted to see him. He is so funny. For years when we did producers together, and he would scream down 45th Street to get my attention. But instead of saying, "Hey Kathy," he'd scream, "Hey whore." On 45th Street in the middle of the day, and people would stare, and he would just keep screaming, "Hey whore," until he found me. It was like, are you insane? Are you literally insane, Richard? To this day, if I see him, he calls me, "Hey, whoa." That's my nickname.
I don't think Jeff likes your language because
I know we lost him. He left. Sorry, I cussed. I'm not really sorry. Sorry.
Jeff has two young children.
Oh, is that what? Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
They're not in the room with him. I don't think they're there.
Hold on.
Before we go, I just wanted to make sure. Chris is coming
Chris
back.
Chris is going
to
come back. Chris, come on back for a sec.
Oh, I'm back? Oh, no, I was just Chris. Listening. It's so exciting. Hi.
He's changing the set.
Hi, Orville.
He's changing the set for the next thing that he's in, the next reading. He's got a note.
I was singing your praises, Chris, because that Batman thing, sweetie, I don't know what to say. The duct tape and the things.
Wasn't it so stupid? It was so great. It was kind of like the greatest gift, honestly, because John Tracy Egan came up with this crazy idea of reading scripts from the 60s that he collects and having his friends record just their part without knowing who's playing the other parts. And so you just record your part. And I saw he did a Lucy show. The first episode he did was the Lucy show. And I loved it. And then he said, "Hey, do you want to play Batman?" I was like, "Yeah, all right, whatever." And then he told me the idea, and I was like, I ran with it, and I'm so glad I ran the way I did, because if I didn't do all the things, you know, with the bam and the pow, I had like made up signs. I had made up signs. Where are they? They're actually here somewhere. But I made up signs that were like bam and pow. We had fight sequences, and I made the whole Batman logo that spun. I put it on a drill. I put it on a drill, and I went like, but the Batman was actually, Dory, you're gonna hate this, but it was from your film center. They gave us a hat for that presentation where you won that award that you never got, but you got it, but you didn't get it. Remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was there for you. Anyway, but they gave us a hat. They gave us a hat that came down to about here's a stocking cap. So I cut eyes out, like, you know, Fat Albert, and then I put tape on it, and then I painted like the Batman thing on my, And it was so stupid. And
so funny.
For two days, Kevin, my husband, was like, "What the hell are you doing?" I was like, "Just go over there. Leave me alone." It was so much fun. And it was so exciting because it was so creative. And I loved every minute of it. So and when fun. It finally came out, just looking on Facebook, I don't know where, Kathy, I don't know what where don't you can find it. It's fun. But John Tracy Egan, yeah, or you can go to my Facebook page. Yeah. You can find it there. And just scroll down, you'll find it eventually. But it's so funny, stupid.
So stupid.
It's just right. It's right up my alley. It's just like,
this is classy funny. That was absolutely nothing classy about it. But it's like
the best representation of doing the best thing you got with what you have. It's like the greatest thing.
Oh, God.
That sort of is the overall theme right now. And that is what we're doing as a community. And I just know that we're so grateful to you guys for doing this. All the people, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights, AIDS are so appreciative as well. Thank you for your time and your talent and for helping us out with this. I know I speak for Gordon when I say how grateful we are.
And thank you, Gordon and Steve.
Thank once again, Bart Fassbender, our amazing editor mixer and sound designer, Victoria Diorio, and Lane and Tom Viola, who were supportive of this, and of course our amazing producers. Dori Berenstein, who's right here at Dressed as Dracula, and Alan Seals pulling all the strings backstage right now. Everyone, now, top.
We also want to thank our producing partner, Liz Armstrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
And we want to remind everybody to go to BroadwayCares.org/help2020 to donate to Broadway Cares, the work that they're doing right now to help those in need during this unbelievably challenging time as Herculean, and we want to support them. You can watch Dracula, the Comedy of Terrors at bpn.fm/Dracula. There's going to be a new episode every Friday morning coming out for 4 weeks. You don't want to miss it. These guys are through the roof. It's so funny. And please come to the Broadway Podcast Network. We have over 60 podcasts, town hall events, serials, plays, challenges, and there's more terrific deep dive Broadway content. So go to bpn.fm. And we are so excited to see all of you back live in the theater as soon as we can.
Yes.
But thank you all for watching us and joining us tonight. And in the meantime, enjoy Dracula, the Comedy of Terrors.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Deep Dive Broadway, produced by Dori Berenstein, edited by Alan Seals, and special thanks to Bia and Brittany, who were fabulous. You can find me at bpn.fm/deepdivebroadway. My Instagram is dori.berenstein, which is B-E-R-I-N-S-T-E-I-N. Please subscribe and leave lots of fabulous comments, and check out my website at dramaticforces.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.